Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Morning, you're listening to U105. It's Frank Mitchell here on the U105 phone-in until 12 o'clock. How disappointing it was over the weekend to see Katie Taylor lose her fight. So many people had been expecting her to win. She's going to have a rematch, but it wasn't to be. We'll speak to Jim Gracie, a man who knows a considerable amount about sport. He spent a lifetime covering it. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Chantelle Cameron delivered the first professional defeat of Katie Taylor. Were you surprised at that, Jim?
Yes and no. I think we were all carried away with the hype leading up to it, and you know, Katie can't be beaten, especially in Ireland. But I think when you sit down and you analyse it and you look at it, maybe if we'd have looked at it a wee bit more analytically beforehand. I mean, you've got Chantelle. But she's younger, 32, Katie, 37. She's bigger, she's stronger, she was faster. I think she had everything there on Saturday. And yet, in the final analysis, Frank, it was narrow, but I think it came down on the right side.
There will be a rematch, and there had been talk about it being at Croke Park, but I think, is it Eddie Hearn who's in charge of Katie, or in charge of putting on the fight? He doesn't get on with Croke Park, or Croke Park don't get on with him. There's some mix-up between Croke Park and those who represent the preparing for the fight, the management of the agents. That might be resolved, however. You hear all those sorts of things, and then, in the end, 80,000 people come to see it.
It's boxing. I mean, that's just the way it always has been. Men's boxing, women's boxing, even amateur boxing. It's all about the hype and the build up to sell tickets. And I would imagine that whatever the problem is, it'll be resolved. That these things always are.
Yeah, because I think there would be one final farewell opportunity for Katie Taylor, and that farewell opportunity is important to consider because no one wants to overstay the welcome, and it is a big welcome. She's a heroine of sport, but she could go one fight too many, couldn't she?
Well, you know what they say in all walks of life, Frank, always leave them wanting more. It would be better for Katie to bow out at the top than to be you know, bow out beaten. Although at the end of the day, you know, she's got nothing to prove to anyone. It's quite, you know, possible that she could go into the rematch here and having learned from Saturday night, and maybe going over the videos again, you know, maybe changing a few things. It's quite possible that she could win, but either way, I would like to think that would be her last fight. And I keep saying, you know, 37 years old, you know, you do take a lot of punishment. She's a great boxer, and tactically, she's a great boxer. But, you know, the body can only take so much. And I think in this instance here, that was just maybe a little warning bell, not the final bell, but a warning bell to Katie on Saturday night. She maybe does, you know, go for this rematch, but she maybe then needs to rethink where she wants to go after that.
She's certainly been a champion of the sport and such an ambassador for the sport. And a reminder, because we've seen it all change in our lifetime as journalists, Jim, you know, boxing as a female sport was not something that was even considered when I started out. It is now absolutely outstanding in the women's game, as are so many sports that have really broke through and managed to break through. They've broken through in the last number of years, certainly in the last decade. And no surprise, you're the editor of a magazine called Local Women's Sport Magazine, concentrating primarily on women's sport.
Well, I mean, the success of that magazine is because of the success of women's sport. It's being bought, it's being advertised in. They've had their annual award, or the first annual awards recently there, to a full house in the Europa Hotel. They had all the top names in women's sport in Northern Ireland. You know, there that night they had Lady Mary Peters, Marissa Callaghan. I mean, you name it, was a who's who of women's sport, and that magazine really only exists because of the success of women's sport and the advances that it's made. I mean, you talk about our years in journalism, and it's frightening to say. I mean, I did 42 years on the Belfast Telegraph. And, back 42 years ago when I first started, you know, women's sport, maybe women's hockey got a look in, or maybe women's bowls got a look in. But with regard to football, with regard to Gaelic sports, with regard to boxing, it was just unheard of. And maybe, too, they weren't encouraged then, and they weren't promoted then the way they are now. But I would have to say, when you look at the likes of Katie Taylor and Michaela Walsh's and people like that, you know, they're there on merit. And the Northern Ireland women's footballers, I mean, you sit down now to watch a women's football match at the top level. Heavens above, I mean, it's just incredible skill. And it's because the way that they're now, you know, that they're organised, they're promoted, they're fit. You know, they've got tactically aware. They're probably properly coached. And I mean, to me, now there's absolutely no difference. I mean, look at the crowds that they're attracting. Look at the Northern Ireland women filling Windsor Park, for heaven's sake. That would have been unheard of even 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I suppose some credit has to go to the likes of the BBC for giving it such serious coverage in recent times, especially women's football and women's rugby. ITV have been in there as well, giving it a very prominent platform. And sponsors that come on board, when I look at women's Gaelic football, the amount of involvement from Lidl, the supermarket, they make it happen. And whether it's on television or on TG Cahir, or whether it's online, the streaming service, it is high profile, and it's just becoming, I suppose, a juggernaut going through of female sport. You wonder indeed how many generations of women missed out on thoroughly enjoying sport because of the discrimination against them in the game over decades.
I mean, even in the schools, I mean, I went to a school with boys and girls, and it was always the boys' sports that were encouraged. And I mean, the girls maybe got to play a bit of netball or something like that there. It was never taken seriously, right? But I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about 40, 50 years ago. You know, women's sport was never really taken seriously. They never envisaged, girls going from school to go on to become, you know, professional athletes or professional sportswomen. It was never envisaged. And maybe that was the times. And it wasn't right, but it was the times. But I'm just glad to say now, you know, that girls in the schools, girls in the clubs, even all the mainstream sports, they're now encouraging all young people and all abilities, to come through. And they're getting the coaching now, they're getting the training, they've got the facilities that our generation never had.
And the local women's sports magazine, that's features on sports stars, it's features on up-and-coming stars, it's the colour, it's the razzmatazz of what goes on around the game as well as what's happening within the game or within the individual sport.
Yes, I said, Frank, it's mutual. The magazine exists because women's sport in Northern Ireland is now massive. There's a massive market for it. There's a massive readership in it. There's a massive following online. You mentioned the television coverage and the sponsors. Again, it's all mutual. All those television companies and all those sponsors have come on board women's sport because women's sport, as they see, is marketable.
And no surprise, at your award ceremony, there was a special award for Lady Mary Peters.
I mean, Mary's the figurehead, but even Mary would tell you, I mean, Mary's now 81, 82. Mary won her gold medal in 1972 in Munich. To this day, she remains our only track and field gold medal at the Olympics. But even Mary struggled, and she'll tell you this herself. You know, she hadn't the proper facilities. She wasn't properly encouraged. Some people didn't take her seriously. Thankfully, her coach, you know, the late great Buster, he did. But, Mary would tell you she had her struggles too coming up. And that's why whenever she came back from Munich and she wanted to put something back, she first of all, she raised the funds to put that magnificent track that we have up at Upper Malone there, the Mary Peters track. And then she founded her Mary Peters Trust, which to this day, I think the last count, She had aided 4,000 young sportsmen and women with bursaries and grants and funds to aid their development, and it just goes on and on and on. And I think women's sport now in Northern Ireland is established, and it's only going to get stronger, and we're only going to hear more and more.
And just finally, Jim, if people did want to suggest something in relation to content for Local Women's Sport magazine, how do they contact you? What avenue can they take?
Oh, well, they can email us. I think I've got the email address here. It's, just to give you exactly, it's editor@localwomensports.com, or we're online. We have an app. We have a website. We're not hard to find. And again, you know, I've been around sport long enough. Most people know where to find me.
They'll track you down. I didn't want to give out your personal email, or you could be inundated. Jim, congratulations on the success of the magazine, and indeed thanks for coming on. Thank you indeed.
Yes, and congratulations to you and your team winning the league again.
I didn't want to bring it up, Jim. I know you're a Red, and I know you would say that you've got an FA Cup waiting to be won. Can United raise their game, because they have to beat City at present, but they probably will raise it.
Well, can I mention the word Wigan?
I know. United aren't that good.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, just take Katie Taylor as a lesson as to what can happen when you've been at the top for so long. Someone will come along and knock you down.
Jim, I know. I'm just keeping our fingers crossed that we can get that treble. They're capable of beating United. They're capable of beating Inter Milan, but it guarantees nothing. Jim, great having you on, fella. Thank you.
Cheers, Frank.
That's Jim Gracie, a legend in sports coverage. Editor currently of Local Women's Sports Magazine, which is a very good publication.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.